pastoral ministry shouldn't be training shouldn't be outsourced to seminaries. Seminaries mm-hmm. provide a part of it, generally the academic part, but if you're going to be a pastor, you should be being discipled in a local church context, under care in your presbytery. Like you don't just go off and say, I'm going to be a pastor and have no external affirmation of call and support and discipleship locally. And, you know, like you don't outsource that to the seminary. The seminaries do the best they can. So the church provides certain aspect of it, but BTS is providing the academic aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think it just leads to kind of a well-rounded model. I mean, we love the local church. We want to serve the local church. We often say, you know, we're seminary by the church for the church, because a lot of our professors are current pastors, or they're currently doing counseling full time. I mean, they're serving the church. And so,
well, with GA looming on the horizon, I have a friend and one of the sponsors, or the sponsor of what I do here at Grace at the Gates, Dave Latham from Birmingham Theological Seminary. Dave, thanks for being with us and me.
Hey, George, thank you again. It's always good. Is this becoming an annual tradition for us to do a kind of a pre-GA show? So I'm just happy to be back.
Yeah, and because, I mean, you know, you guys have the booth. You always have good swag. Actually, if you see, I'm wearing last year's hat, or the year before's hat. I got a shirt and mug.
Man.
So I'm slack.
Yeah, I know. You're head to toe. You got the BTS drip. I like how you live.
The BTS drip, yes. And, you know, for a while, I wore your lapel pins, because it's just a great lapel pin. You had two of them, a round one and then also like a shield-shaped one.
Yep.
And, you know, lapel pins are become a big deal in the PCA. So that's a reason to go to their booth.
Shockingly enough, yeah. And we actually have bigger ones this year that are like the bigger shield. And so those have become a hot commodity.
Oh, man. You better hold one for me. No, they will be. Because it's a great shield.
Anyway. I've always liked our logo. I think it's great.
Right. Is it somehow related to Briarwood's logo adapted to BTS?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, probably if you went back into the, you know, the history of the logo, I'm sure there was, you know, some partnership there. But,
right.
You know, overall, I mean, it's become, which I'm grateful for, it's become a very recognizable logo in kind of our world of seminaries, which I think is great.
Yeah, and that's why I would wear it all the time, because it's just, it kind of transcends the brand, but then it's a conversation into the brand of the seminary.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wear a ministry to state lapel pin now everywhere, because that's, you know, I'm with MTS now. So anyhow, but we're gonna get into this this whole conversation, because so much is going on with BTS, exponential mm-hmm. growth over the years that I've been associated with y'all. I still have not finished my D-min, but God willing, in a year from now, I will graduate whenever you have that May 1, 2027. So it's a prayer request for every listener that I actually get that dissertation written. So
sure. Hang in there as you wander through the wilderness. The promised land is coming.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's been brutal because each summer the last 2 years has just been, you know, way too busy. Like, we moved to Florida last summer mm-hmm. and I haven't had an office. Actually, this is our new home, and this is like a den, because my son, who's home from college, is in what it was supposed to be my office. So that's at some point I'll actually have an office, but sure. I'm glad to have him home. Let's talk bigger things you're seeing first, and then we'll talk like more details of all the stuff going on at
sure.
Birmingham Theological Seminary. Like, you've been with them what, 2 years now?
Yeah, about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and before that you were with RTS, right?
Correct. Yeah, before prior to that, I mean, I pastored a church here in Fort Payne, Alabama, for about 6 years, and then kind of was talking with Ike along the way, and then transitioned over to BTS full time. But prior to moving to Fort Payne, I actually was the director of admissions at RTS Charlotte. So I've been doing, you know, admissions and kind of seminary work for a while now.
Right. And so what are, over that span of time and whatever your background is on it, what are some like trends? I'm not looking for data or analysis, more anecdotal trends, things yeah. you've observed or seen in the seminary world.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been interesting just kind of seeing the trends even kind of pre-COVID and post-COVID, because it did, I think COVID actually sped up some things, not in a bad way. I mean, there were some bad things that came out of COVID, but there actually were some good things that came out. Really what I've seen is, as you might imagine, kind of a rise in the demand for online learning and kind of distance-based learning, which that's one thing that COVID did do, is it basically taught everybody how to use Zoom overnight. And it became ubiquitous. Everybody knows how to use it, and everybody got used to it. And so because of that, it kind of allowed a lot of people to get a theological education from a distance without having to move to one of these, you know, major seminary cities. And so I think a lot of that's also being pushed by, you know, tuition costs are rising across the board. Also, cost of living, especially in some of these major metro kind of areas, are on the rise. And so what you have is you've got rising costs, rising tuition, and then you have students that are able to get a great education from a distance at a much lower cost. And I think what it's also showing is that the need for just institutions in general, just to kind of get a little bit more lean and mean as students are exploring different options out there. That's kind of what I'm seeing. And I mean, again, another good thing that I'm seeing, it looks like the seminaries that across the board that we would kind of put in the world of still being Orthodox, they look like they're growing and stable, which is great. Maybe the delivery method's a little different, but Orthodox seminaries, they're still, God's still calling people into ministry, and there's still some great seminaries out there that are training future leaders in Christ Church. And I think there's a lot to be encouraged about.
Oh, that's phenomenal. So BTS, you do have on-site classes, mm-hmm. but the majority of your students, I would guess, are distance. Would that be an accurate assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a general, you know, accuracy, I think, which is good. We do offer residential classes at Briarwood in Birmingham. So if students want the traditional kind of brick and mortar feel of a seminary, we do that. But we kind of run the lane for, you know, for every one student that can move to a traditional brick and mortar seminary. And we love our sister seminaries that are brick and mortar. We're happy for them. We're finding for every one student that can do that, there's probably about six or seven that can't for various reasons, or they don't want to. And so BTS is really, I think, kind of running in that lane, and we're seeing explosive growth because of that, which I think is encouraging. Just offering a different alternative. It's not good, better, best. It's just a different way of doing seminary.
Right, right. You know, and my impression is all these reformed seminaries that, you know, do business in or around the PCA, you guys all have great relationships. I don't see that it has to be competitive, but I don't see that it is competitive, if you know what I mean. Like, it just seems collegial.
Yeah, I would say it's collegial competition, which is, you know, I mean, there's only a certain number of students that are, you know, in any given year that are looking at seminary. And of course, we're all, you know, I mean, I'm a recruiter. I want to see students come to BTS. But ultimately, I want to see faithful people get trained up to serve in Christ's kingdom that are going to bring Orthodox Christianity to bear in the lives of people. And so whether they come to BTS or they go to another great seminary that we've got a great relationship with, that's kind of a win overall for the kingdom of God. And I think just kind of having that mentality of, yeah, of course I want BTS to have a ton of students, but I also want all these other great seminaries to have a ton of students too, because there's a lot of lost people out there that need to know about Christ.
Yeah, amen. So tell me or tell us about the different language around online learning, because, you know, online learning can mean anything from you're just doing a course online and having no interaction with any kind of instructor or classmates to cohort-based to, I've heard of the, Ike used the phrase asynchronous learning. I'm not even sure what that is. So tell us, because, and just what's going through my mind as I continue to preface this is just seeing how seminary has transitioned in the digital world. Like if for a long time, obviously you'd go to the brick and mortar thing, but if you couldn't go to that, and before the internet, they would have like correspondence-based seminary programs. And some of them were just diploma mills. You know, they would mail you all the literature and you would do the work and mail that in. And, you know, if you're Gen Z, you don't even know what I'm talking about, but, you know, and you get a certificate in the mail and,
sure.
You know, I think some people's impression of the online stuff early on was that it was just an online version of that. You're just doing this,
right.
You're going through the motions and the checklist on in an online fashion, and then you get a degree. And that's not what it is at all. But what is like, what are the models? How do they work? And how do you guys do it?
Yeah, no, that's great. And yeah, I mean, we just went through our arts reaccreditation just a few weeks ago, honestly. And there was even some discussion there where we had to include in every art seminary, and probably ATS accredited seminary actually has to have a statement now on diploma mills and just kind of warning students about them. But again, I mean, I think that's the case for going to an accredited school where you have a little bit of a checks and balances and you have some oversight. But by and large, I mean, the delivery methods that are there, I mean, obviously there's always the in-person brick and mortar style of class, which people are used to and we grew up doing. And those are still great. But then, especially like in the BTS world, we have pre-recorded classes that sometimes I'll talk to students and we call them self-paced, or in kind of our nomenclature, that's what we call distance education. And so some of that is actually really helpful because you can get access to professors who either are retired or maybe have gone to be with the Lord. Most notably in the BTS world, you can still take a course from Harry Reader at BTS, pre-recorded. And so that's a wonderful opportunity. Plus, that's where the asynchronous kind of stuff gets in there where you know, you can take a course kind of at your own pace. It doesn't have to fit within a traditional kind of semester model. I mean, of course, there's different definitions for asynchronous, but distance ed gives you maximum flexibility, and it's give and take. The next thing that we do is we do live classes over Zoom, which would be just like this format. And so you're looking at a class that might have 6-7 students in it and a professor, a lot of interaction live in real time. Super flexible because it's going to meet in the evening, you know, after supper, and you can have real dialogue with your fellow students and with your professor, which is great. And so there's a bunch of different learning models that are out there, and I think it's actually a real benefit of having, you know, great computer technology now. I mean, you can take a class on your phone with the camera and the processing power that you have, but then also, I mean, high-speed internet and Wi-Fi has become ubiquitous. I mean, even Elon beams it down from space. I mean, it's amazing. So really, I mean, I tell students, if you have a, you know, a webcam on your laptop or the camera on your phone, and if you have a internet connection, now you can take a class in real time, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, so all those different models, and it is true with technology today, and especially, you know, I'm Gen X, they call me a boomer, but, you know, this next generation of seminary students is just completely used to doing things digitally and electronically. It's not even, it's actually odd to them not to have the option.
Right.
What I will say is I remember like some of the critique as the online stuff was coming to bear. I actually did a Master of Arts through Liberty online 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Liberty was kind of leading the way in online mm-hmm. seminary stuff, and they still do, you know, nationally, but everything they were doing with discussion boards and like they tried to simulate the class experience, the classroom experience to the best of their ability. And then I did some of my Knox MDiv work was online too. And I'm like, man, it really does. You do get the interaction you want with other students. You do have access to your professor, and it's just a great kind of alternative. I mean, there is something to be said for residential seminary work. Like, I often envy guys.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, I envy guys who can just give, you know, 3 years of their life to full time pouring into this with other students doing the same thing. And like, you know, like, and I see the benefits in the lives of the students that are able to do that. But so many of us can't. I mean, I didn't get ordained until I was in my 40s. So, you know, this was like a second career for me. It wasn't, you know, I already had kids. And so just the flexibility in the models is helpful to anyone. And it opens the door to seminary education for everyone.
Yeah. And one thing I would add on that, which I think is interesting, like I had the great privilege of being able to go to seminary full-time, did my MDiv in 3 years. Now, it was brutal. I mean, I just went to class all year round. But I made a ton of friends. I enjoyed the residential model. I'm very privileged to be able to have done that. But I also see the great benefit. Sometimes now that I work for BTS and I see the model, I'm like, oh, I could have stayed put. you know, but I mean, in the Lord's providence, he worked it all out. But I think another thing, too, that's a benefit of kind of, especially the way BTS does, is what it allows us to do is because we're kind of purposefully decentralized, we actually are able to open the professor pool up, because now we can pull from professors from anywhere that if they have, you know, an internet connection and a webcam, they can teach from anywhere. And so what that allows us to be able to do is to be able to pull kind of the best and brightest from all over the country. You know, for example, we have Dr. Harrison Perkins, you know, who's out in Michigan, and he teaches THM classes for us. He teaches a variety of classes for us, but he does so in Michigan while he's pastoring his church. Same thing with Derek Bright down in Aliceville, Alabama. You know, he's able to teach for BTS. He's able to pastor his church, but you're getting that real kind of life experience and from people who are doing it day in and day out. And that allows, our model allows us to be able to kind of pull professors from all over the place, even borrow professors from other institutions that we have great relationships with. And, you know, we're able to it's kind of in many ways kind of opened up the playing field for the professors that you can actually learn from, which I think is a great benefit to prospective students.
Yeah, yeah, and especially in the DMIN program, Doctor of Ministry program, like I'm a part of that first apologetics or public theology track, and you guys just were able to get amazing professors. Steve Cowan, who is the editor for Zondervan for the Five Views of Apologetics books, was one of our professors, you know, and he's written philosophy books and everything else. And I think we had Carl Ellis. And so you know, for cultural apologetics. And so there's, yeah, you're able to do that. And, you know, I mean, your BTS is nimble, you know, and.
Yeah. And that's on purpose. I mean, you know, I tell folks we operate in a purposefully different way, and we're grateful for that. I mean, we're grateful for Briarwood. That allows us to operate on the church campus, and that plus also being able to kind of decentralize everything that we're doing. What that allows us to do is to be able to operate with really low overhead, which translates down to really affordable tuition, not only at the graduate level, but also at the postgrad level, at DMIN, THM level. I mean, it's a fraction of the going rate. And it's because we're leveraging technology that's there. We don't have a ton of institutional overhead, and we're able then to pass that down to students. And what that does is, again, opens up the opportunity to get a great seminary education at a price that makes sense for people who can pretty much live anywhere. I mean, I think that's the beauty of our system as well, is that if you have a student that's out there that really loves their local community, they might be fourth generation grown up there. They may love their church. They have deep institutional ties there. BTS actually allows them to stay rooted there. Like we say, please stay there. You know, you have generational ties that we cannot replicate. Nobody can replicate that. And so we would love for you to stay in that town, stay in that church, be mentored by that pastor, serve those people, and do your seminary education while you're doing all of that. And I think BTS, our model, allows people to do that. And there's other great seminaries out there that offer distance education, and we're grateful for them. But BTS is doing it at a fraction of the price. So it just kind of makes sense across the board.
Right, right. Like, yeah, there's obviously other seminaries are doing all kinds of different aspects, but BTS seems to be able to bring together a combination of deep and quality reformed Presbyterian education in a flexible way that will meet the needs of wherever people are studying and completely affordable.
Yeah.
Which is so that, you know, that combination is just very helpful. And I really think that last part of what you talked about, like stay where you are and learn, you know, a lot of the critique I'm seeing online about, you know, seminaries and professors and not professors, pastors is how seminaries aren't preparing students for ministry in certain aspects. And my argument is, you know, I think the pastoral ministry shouldn't be training shouldn't be outsourced to seminaries. Seminaries provide a part of it, generally the academic part. But if you're going to be a pastor, you should be being discipled in a local church context, under care in your presbytery. Like you don't just go off and say, I'm going to be a pastor and have no external affirmation of call and support and discipleship locally. And, you know, like you don't outsource that to the seminary. The seminaries do the best they can, but like that kind of other stuff, whether it's real world pastoral ministry stuff, you guys have classes in that, of course, but that should be happening at the local level. And so I think BTS does really do what everybody says they want to do, which is come alongside the local church. So the church provides certain aspect of it, but BTS is providing the academic aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think it just leads to kind of a well-rounded model. I mean, we love the local church. We want to serve the local church. We often say, you know, we're seminary by the church for the church, because a lot of our professors are current pastors or they're currently doing counseling full time. I mean, they're serving the church. And so, plus, we're not wanting to remove people from the church context. We're wanting to meet them where they are, provide the academic aspects that they need and desire. As you said, seminaries, you know, they do the best they can. They can't do everything. We can't. Seminaries, by default, regardless of where you are, seminaries can't train you for ministry. They can kind of give you some insights into it, but you kind of have to go do it. And I think BTS gives you the freedom and the flexibility to really go where God calls you. Even in the midst of your studies, you could be 2 years in, God calls you to this new place, and literally all you do is just pick your laptop up and go over there and just keep studying. But also at the same time, it gives you the ability, you're not fighting for elbow space with all of the other seminary interns in town. You might be the only seminary intern within 100 miles. And what that allows you to do is hospital visits, go to session meetings, preach, teach, test those gifts, do evangelism. And it gives you the freedom to fail also, which is important part of the learning process. It gives you the freedom to fail within a community of people that love you and are for you. And where instead of it being crushing, it can actually be super encouraging. Even when you fall flat on your face, you know, you learn from that and you get another chance to keep going. And I think that's important. And BTS just kind of gives you max ability to be able to do that, which I think is great.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the highlights as you're looking into looking to General Assembly? What are some of the things you want people to know about what's going on at BTS, how BTS can meet their needs and all that?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's great. Well, number one, we'll be at booth 136 at GA. And so pretty much just kind of walk in and look for all the green things. That's kind of our team color. But we'll be there and sharing the booth with Lampstand as well out of Briarwood, as we normally do. So would love for people to come and say hello at the booth, especially if you're an alum or a current student. We'd love to say hello. We'd love to see you. Of course, it's a great chance for us to be able to network and talk with other institutions, people that we serve. It's just a great time of collegiality. But, you know, the big thing that we're looking at is, I mean, the rise of BTS. I mean, our enrollment is way up. I mean, we are on pace right now to pass 650 individual students this current academic year, which is incredible. Of course, we have a new THM in systematic theology that we, you know, we just started this past fall. And so we'll be looking for students that want to kind of start that again this coming fall. We always have our Doctor of Ministry cohorts, which, you know, now is kind of the season and the lead up to the fall. Those kind of start right after Labor Day. We're looking to fill our cohorts out, whether that be biblical counseling or apologetics like you're doing, church vitality, multiplication. We've got a chaplaincy D-man. There's a ton of different ways for folks to get a Doctor of Ministry, and we'd love to have that conversation with you at the BTS booth. You know, but I think just by and large, I mean, just kind of looking at BTS is growing. You know, we're able to serve more and more people across not only the PCA, but just and not even NAPARC. But, you know, we say we're Reformed, we're interdenominational. We love to be able to serve a variety of different students. But, I mean, obviously the PCA is one of our major constituencies, and we love the PCA. I'm ordained in the PCA. So it's a great time. So we'd love for people to come see us at the booth and talk and hear more. We'd love to answer any questions. We'd love to, you know, connect you with anybody that you need to get connected with. We'd love to give you some information about BTS. And there's really another thing, one more thing that I'll just mention really quickly is we offer a Presbyterian Leadership Certificate, and we love to train ruling elders. And so we have some churches that are doing it kind of like a cohort with their session, where they're all of the session members are signed up together, and they, as part of their continuing education for being ruling elders, they're doing the Presbyterian Leadership Certificate, which you take Intro to Covenant Theology, Westminster Confession, you take a counseling class, like you take a class on conflict in the local church, which that's pretty important for a ruling elder to have in their hip pocket. And you also take PCA Polity with that's taught by Fred Greco. And so, you know, great, kind of those four classes are just a wonderful opportunity for ruling elders to get trained, and especially a group of ruling elders that don't live anywhere close to a traditional brick and mortar seminary. We can bring that to you. And so we'd love to talk to you about that.
Yes. And this is a not so private joke, because I let it out there all the time, but like between me and Ike, like I take credit for that program, even though y'all had it already in different fashions. I, you know, like this podcast is Grace of the Gates, but it was Presbyterian Reformed Churchmen, which really focused on ruling elders. And I said, man, if you just package these certificates specifically to ruling elders, you already have the class. And like that year he did it. And of course he said that was in the works, so he doesn't give me the credit for it. but I actually was joking with he and his dad, with Harry, at the Charlotte Gospel Reformation Network conference, which was the last time I saw Dr. Reader, and they were both getting in their car there, and I was joking with them about, you know, me being the architect of that, and Ike let me do that with his dad, which was fun. But I had ruling elders take those classes, and like you said, like at the time they took it with Fred Greco, the PCA Polity one, and it's just it's a great like continuing ed for ruling elders who may not want to pursue a master's degree, an MA or an MDiv, but want to either bone up or get more training in these areas, or just interact, like you said, with ruling elders across the country, develop those sort of relationships and networks that teaching elders naturally have. But the cool thing about that is those are master's level courses. So you actually could just be taking classes for your own continuing ed or edification and at some point realize, hey, I'm like a part of the way through a master's. I might as well finish that.
Yeah.
And like you said,
we have a ton of students that's kind of the trajectory. They start off taking a class or two. They end up really liking it. I mean, one thing that we also do too is let's say you already have a degree, but there's a class, particular class that you really like. We offer audit classes for $100. So if there's a class that you want to see and you just want to sit in on it, we would love to have you as an audit student, and you can get all of the information and not have to write the paper. it's kind of great.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an elder do that also. An older guy, he was in his 70s and, you know, didn't need to be writing papers, but wanted to be in the classroom setting because, you know, a lot of these are small, could be a dozen people, could be seven people, could be whatever. Mm-hmm. So you actually get to interact with, you know, the instructor, interact with the other students as you're on like a Zoom call, but whatever you guys are using to do that nowadays. So yeah, definitely a great way. And in my experience, dealing with a lot of ruling elders, they've all almost thought about it on their own. Like, I wonder if I should take some classes. Mm-hmm. BTS makes it so easy to do that.
Mm-hmm. And affordable.
Yeah.
Where you look at it and you go, well, I kind of want to take some classes, but I don't want to pay $600 a credit for it. And we go, we agree. So why don't you take this class? And it's $100 a credit. I mean, it just, in many ways, I tell people I had the easiest job in the world as far as recruiting for BTS. You know, I mean, just a rich, robust education at a price that makes sense. And the flexibility that, you know, we offer allows, you know, anybody anywhere to get the education that they're thinking about. Man, I really would love to get a little extra education over here. But, you know, I don't want to pay this hefty price tag. BTS comes in and goes, we would love to meet you there and get you what you need and at a price that just makes total sense.
Right. And so it's not just Bible degrees. It's, you have counseling, you also mm-hmm. have education. And so mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the education. It's a master's, right?
Yeah, it's a master of education, and I would just encourage people to go to bts.education. That's our website. It's not bts.edu. You have to spell education out. So bts.education is a master's in education, primarily designed for folks that are, you know, Christian educators, want a little extra there. So I mean, you're going to look at, it's going to take some leadership classes. You're going to take some classes on how to craft curriculum. It's just a really well-rounded degree. And if you also have someone who's already in Christian education and maybe getting a master's degree is going to benefit them professionally, you know, that's what this degree is designed for. And again, the classes are all in the evenings. And so what you can do is, especially for someone in that, you can teach class during the day, you know, all the other things that you need to do, you log in, you can take your coursework. And then maybe in the summer, when your schedule kind of dies down a little bit, as far as the day in, day out of teaching, you can use the summer to really kind of bulk up and either take some distance ed classes that are pre-recorded, or we offer kind of intensive classes that usually are just a few days, and then you do the rest of the coursework. So it's a great program for folks that's kind of their they see that as their ministry, and that's what gets them up in the morning. Great, great degree program.
Yeah, and also not to, I mean, certainly you want a student to start and finish at BTS, but you know, a lot of people, that's, you know, finishing is a long way off in their mind, and mm-hmm. it becomes then a large commitment. And so what are the like articulation agreements you have with other seminaries, or what is the like the ability to transfer credits once you've taken them into BTS or out of BTS?
Yeah, sure. As far as, well, I mean, even I'm a former RUF campus minister, and I would tell students that were there, and I still tell even seminary students, Jesus loves transfer students too. It's okay. You know, your life may change, circumstances may change. That's okay. As far as being able to transfer into BTS, we always have a conversation with folks. Justin Richardson, who's our chief academic officer, does a great job of evaluating transcripts. We try to be as generous as we can be to be able to let people transfer the credits in. As far as if a student decides to transfer out of BTS, we tell them, hey, I mean, we would love to keep you around, but also at the same time, we understand. And so we'd love to still be here to serve you. And as far as being able to transfer those BTS credits into other institutions, you know, there typically is no issue with that because we're, you know, a nationally accredited seminary. And so we try to be as generous with credits transferring in, and as far as transferring out, you know, students have really not had any problems with that. And so I don't think there's any fear, you know, for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the as we round the bend here, what's the Reader Center and how does that work within BTS?
Yeah, the Reader Center for Pastoral Studies is kind of its own kind of department within BTS. And really what it's designed to do is to just build upon the legacy of Harry Reader. But also train future pastors to kind of follow in his footsteps and kind of be trained. And you can go to the BTS website. You can find the Reader Center that's there if you want the full, you know, drawn out explanation of absolutely everything. But really, kind of the heart behind it is we want to see more Harry Readers go out into the church. And so you're able to, we want to preserve the written legacy of Harry. We want to preserve articles and books and sermons and kind of make a digital archive of that. And these Reader Center students kind of help with that. But then it also, we have several scholarships that are available for Reader Center students that you can effectively, hopefully, get a full scholarship to be able to get a BTS degree. But then also to be kind of just trained, you know, in those five big areas, and you can go on the website and see all of those, you know, as far as like primacy of preaching, you know, leadership. It's just a really tailored program for folks who are looking specifically to go into full-time ordained ministry, but then also to kind of just kind of help preserve the legacy of Harry Reader for future generations, to kind of have one-stop shop for folks to go there and continue to be trained. So it's a great department. Ike has worked really hard on it. You know, and again, if you stop by the GA booth, we'd love to tell you more about that.
Yeah, I'm just so happy for what you guys are doing with that, particularly the scholarships for, you know, people mm-hmm. who want to be pastors. And the fact that they get to interact with Harry's digital stuff, you know, a lot of it's audio stuff or whatever, that they get to help transcribe and be a part of that. And anybody that knows Harry Reader knows he was about preaching, pastoring, shepherding, discipling, leadership. And so to carry on that legacy is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, we're all about that. And we're excited. Again, it just goes into, we want to serve the church. We want to put well-equipped and well-trained pastors and leaders out there into the church, you know, for the sake of the church, for the glory of God, and to help, you know, guard the deposit that we've been entrusted with for another generation. And so the Reader Center is absolutely, you know, kind of center of the bullseye to help accomplish that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I do look forward to seeing you in less than a week, or I guess it'll be about a week.
About a week.
Yeah. I'll be in the Ministry to State booth. Anybody can visit me there, but definitely go to the BTS booth. And like, you know, like I showed, there's always swag. Actually,
we got swag.
Yeah. Do you have a little stuffed animals this year? Who are the characters?
Yeah, this year is Howard Eyrick, our chair of our counseling department. And so this year it's a stuffed owl. So it's Howard the Hoot Owl.
Nice.
And so you can swing by the booth and we always have a good time kind of picking who we're going to highlight that year. Like we've done Harry the Lionheart, you know, which was a lion, and it's kind of fun. It's just a fun thing. And of course we'll always have, you know, the BTS branded goldfish, gummy bears, the standard stuff, you know. So if you start hitting a slump, swing by the BTS booth. We'd love to get you juiced back up. And we'll have, like a lot of people, we'll have phone chargers and stuff like that available and a comfortable place to sit. So we'd love for folks to stop by the booth and just connect with us and touch base, and hope that a lot of people come to the Ministry of State booth and hear about what you're doing and why that's important. And General Assembly is just a fun time to reconnect, be together, do the business of the church, but also catch up with friends that you haven't seen in a year. And so it's always something to look forward to.
That's right. That's great. Well, Dave, thanks, and I will see you next week. And thanks for listening to Grace at the Gates once again.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you want to know the worth of a seminary, go take a look at their graduates. Our graduates are all over the world. They're planting churches, they're revitalizing churches, they're translating the Bible, they're starting discipleship movements. It's heart-shaking, life-changing, and just mind-expanding of what God is doing.
You know, sometimes I really do have to pinch myself that what I get to do with the ministries at BTS, the engaging with the students and the impact that God uses us to have on the lives of our students, it's a pleasure, it's an honor, and it's a joy.
Jesus is still building his church, so we need to equip the pastor teachers who equip the saints. We need to equip the elders who shepherd the church. And I am grateful that Birmingham Theological Seminary is available to be a part of the expansion of the kingdom of God in these very crucial days.